The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to The She Word. Conversations women rarely have, but really should. So welcome to the second show of two very special shows in association with the Parliamentary Secretariat for Equality and Reform. That sounds all very, very fancy, but essentially we've been working with the team there to bring you a couple of shows tackling critical topics that really aren't discussed enough, and shedding light on the topic, but also normalizing what it is to have a conversation about it. And this particular show, we're talking about menstruation. But for the sake of this show, we're going to call it periods. Menstruation or periods is a normal and healthy part of life for most women. Roughly half of the female population, around 26% of the global population, are of reproductive age. Most women menstruate or have a period each month for about 2 to 7 days. Yet, as normal as it is, periods are stigmatized all around the world. On average, a woman will menstruate until she's 50 years old for an average of 37 and a half years, during in which time she will have a period around 500 times. Menstrual cycles can vary, but on average, there's about 13 a year, and women will menstruate for the equivalent of 7 years during their life. Now, many girls do not have complete and accurate understanding of periods and the normal biological process. Educating girls before their first period, and importantly, educating boys on menstruation, on periods, builds confidence, contributes to social solidarity, and encourages healthy habits. Information should be available at home and in schools. But let's face it, having a period is all part of being a woman. And without menstruation, without periods, we'd not be able to have babies, and the human race wouldn't exist. So in essence, periods should be celebrated. And here's the thing. If we find it hard to talk about it, then we're really going to find it hard to talk about something when it goes wrong. And that's why it's important to be able to normalize these conversations and to take all of the shame away from something which is so very natural. So I'm going to introduce my amazing guests I've got here on the show. And first of all, Tez Saliba. Yeah.
Hello.
You were like,
I thought you were going,
No.
Oh, it's me. Hello.
I'm starting with you, Tez. Now, you're utterly qualified for the show because you're a woman and you've had periods.
Thank you. Yes, I do.
But you're also no stranger to media. You've been a lead role in a long-running TV drama in Malta, which is, I guess, where a lot of people still know you from.
I think so. A while back, to be fair.
Also a stage actress.
That's right.
Also a radio DJ. But you're also a teacher, and I think that's why one of the reasons I really wanted to get you on this show.
Okay.
Now, you teach boys.
I do. But I teach boys drama, to be
fair. You teach boys drama, but you teach boys.
I do.
So you get to hear what the conversations are, what's being said in the classroom, in the school place, and also probably guide us, as we said, most importantly, that boys need to know about this as much as girls do.
Definitely.
So I am really, and you're also the mother of a boy, and I, although he's very small, I'm pretty sure.
Very naughty.
Very naughty. But I'm sure that you'll have a perspective on what you'd like him to understand.
Yeah.
And of course, you are not a stranger to the She Word, because what is this, your fourth rodeo?
Something like that, I would say.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
The She Word. There's obviously the interviewer before the She Word as
well. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been here a couple of times.
You've been here a few times, my love.
Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, it's so welcome, and I'm so glad that you're here, and we'll fill in any gaps in just a second. But somebody else who's very much loved on the She Word is Chiara Frenda Balzan. Hello.
Hi, Judy.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am really good. You are one of Malta's most loved, most respected gynecologists. You have brought wisdom and insight to subjects that we as women find so hard to talk about. We've sat at this table, we've talked about menstruation before, we've talked about menopause, talked about sex. We've got to do that again sometime. And so much more. So you are an essential part of this conversation. How many times have you sat here?
This is my fourth time.
Fourth. Mm-hmm. Look at you. We've got veterans at the table, but Maria Alul is new to this table, and it's absolutely a pleasure to have you here. You are the head of gender, the mainstreaming unit that's recently been working on a campaign as part of the End the Stigma period. Which I love the way you just repeated that as I said that, because this is obviously a point of passion. But it's been part of two landmark actions here in Malta, eliminating the VAT charge on sanitary products, which the She Word also, we had a whole campaign about that as well, which is just incredible, but also trying to eliminate the stigma of periods in schools and in society. And a huge thank you for both of those. And we'll fill in the gaps in just a second. Actually, you know what? I'm going to stay with you. Maria, what have I missed out? Well, tell me. Yeah, throw the newbie under the bus. But what have I missed out about you?
No, in general, I think I do have a passion for gender equality. And I think that's what drives sort of my work on a daily basis. Menstrual stigma was a topic which I've been wanting to work on because I have experienced menstrual stigma firsthand. And I think that this topic has been unspoken for quite some while. So obviously within the role, I did my best to try and initiate the discussion, obviously with other stakeholders. And I think this is a very, very critical and important discussion we're having to ensure that future generations do not pass through what we've experienced when it comes to menstrual stigma in reality.
Well, it's really interesting you say what we've passed through, because I'm going to ask you a bit of a personal question, but how old are you?
I am 27 years old.
27. So I'm 50. And I got two ladies. We've actually got 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s at this
Woo-hoo!
Table. And I'm going to say, I don't think much has changed in generations. I really don't think much has changed, except for the pretty products that are sitting at the table, which look much nicer than the products I had when I got my first period, and we'll talk about that. But thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you for this campaign, because I really would love to see change. And this is absolutely why we're sitting at this table. Tez.
Hey.
What did I miss out about you?
What did you miss out about me? I don't think you missed out anything, so. I sing, I act, I mother. I educate. You said them all, honestly.
Good.
I'm a friend. I'm a daughter. Baby, I'm anything you need me to be, baby.
Wow. Chiara, what did I miss out about you? Tell me a bit more about what you do.
Well, as you rightly said, I'm a gynecologist. I work in private practice now, so I don't do hospital work. But I'm also part of this campaign that is going around in schools in the stigma period. And we're also revamping, maybe we'll talk about that later on. So I'm part of this project in schools, and we're revamping the PSCD curriculum in relation to menstruation. So that's what I do on the side, apart from obviously being a gynecologist. And part of my job is seeing period problems with hormones and menopause and period problems all the way up to menopause.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested, so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full. Because nothing should stop you, period.
Well, it's really interesting because we've sat at this table and we've talked about periods before. Mm-hmm. We've actually had a couple of shows about periods at this table. And I've seen and heard the impact that that's had. And you said something in a show that just blew my mind. Now, I'm going to just be totally honest. I don't get periods anymore because I'm in menopause, and that is the one amazing thing about menopause is that you don't get periods anymore, and it's great. But we had that conversation. When we talked about periods, I was jaw-dropped because we as women don't know enough about periods. So I kind of want to bring this right back to the real basics, and I'm going to stick with you, Chiara. What is a period?
Okay, yes. Best to start from the bottom, the basics, I guess. So a period is the monthly, let's say monthly, okay? So it's quite regular. On average, about every 28 days. So the way the body is, we're made to have babies, okay? So when a young girl gets her period, what is happening? The ovary is maturing that follicle. So there is these immature eggs in the ovaries. And with stimulation from the brain, so there's hormones from the brain stimulating the ovaries, that eventually is going to lead to a mature follicle and there is ovulation. So let's say in the middle of the month, okay, day 14, that's when the egg comes out of this little bag, okay, in the ovary. And when that happens, there's a surge of hormones because that egg now is expected to be fertilized.
Okay. Okay.
So that egg is expected to meet the sperm.
Okay.
All this while, the lining of the uterus is thickening, okay, becoming a nice cushion so that when that egg is fertilized, it implants nicely into that lining and then we have a pregnancy.
Okay.
If that doesn't happen, if the egg doesn't get fertilized and it's lost...
If the egg is dreadfully disappointed.
Well, you may say that.
Well, you said it was expecting it, so I'm just making a bit of a joke.
But if that egg is lost and not fertilized, then that lining is not needed anymore.
Okay.
And it's shed. And that's what a period is. So a cycle is from day one, we have to obviously make arbitration here. So day one is day one of your period, okay? So day one of cycle, even with your viewers, it's important to say, because I ask this, when was your first day of your period? And get girls and women get confused.
Yeah.
Okay? This is standard. Day one, first day of your period.
Day one is the first day of your period.
Okay? That's how it's been standardized. Okay? So day one, first day of your period, okay? And if obviously there's no pregnancy, there's going to be a period. And then after that lining is shed, then the whole process starts again.
Okay.
Every month expected to get pregnant. So that's your period. That's a period.
Okay. So what should a normal period look like and what should it not look like?
Okay. So this word normal, okay? Because normal, what's normal? Okay. Let's say average.
Oh,
okay. So averages. Most women will fall into the average. Okay.
Okay.
So average is 28 days, but anything from a few days before that, from 25 to 35, still is okay.
Okay.
If it's irregular, if it's irregularly regular, I don't know, 35, 40 days, 60 days, and that's not okay. That's not normal, if you want to use that word. Okay. And usually bleeding is about 3-4, maybe at a stretch, 5 days. 7 days is really not nice, right? It's not nice. 7 days is suffering a period. And as I've said before, we shouldn't suffer periods.
Well, I'm going to get you to say exactly what you said on the previous menstruation day show because it really blew my mind.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Because it's normal to have cramps. Because of the prostaglandins, these hormones biology lesson.
Okay, give it to me.
So when the lining is shed, how is the lining shed? We have these mini contractions that are created by prostaglandins. Okay, so these hormones will start the uterus to have mini contractions. So that lining is torn out. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, normal to have cramps.
Okay.
Normal to have a bit of bleeding. It's not normal to be in bed with a hot water bottle. It's not normal to have to miss school. It's not normal to miss work. It's not normal having to overdose on painkillers. We shouldn't suffer periods.
So you said that, and the show that we had before, I looked at the lady that was sitting, Rebecca was sitting where Tez is right now, and we were both jaw dropped.
Yeah.
Because you're basically saying that you should have cramps, mild cramps,
get on
need a painkiller, but not going to bed,
not stopping, from
no home. Hot water exactly. bottles, no missing school. And you said if that is happening, then there's something you need to go and speak to your gynecologist about.
Yes, because it's not nice to say, and Maltese is supportive. Oh, you have to bear it. You have to just, or a mother would say, that's how I was when I was your age.
Right.
Oh, it will get better. Because after I had after I had the pregnancy with you, it's going to get better. But we shouldn't tell people, get pregnant so your periods get better. We shouldn't say, bear with it. Because if there's a pathological process going on, if there is, fibroids, endometriosis, adenomyosis, I'm giving you all the big words, but if there's something that you feel is not right, you need to speak up.
Now this we're going to come to towards the end of the show, because you've also mentioned, and for anybody that's watching this and suddenly thinking, oh, they're using words like endometriosis and fibroids, we do have a previous show on menstruation where you explain all of that and go through all of that. PCOS is very, very, very common in Malta because it's very common in Mediterranean countries.
Yes.
And I remember you said, we did a whole little excerpt about this, but there's a lot of women in Malta who are living with PCOS and they don't know it. And PCOS, so go to that show. I'll tag it underneath here so that you can see that. But I'm going to, you've just said that, I'm going to come to Tez and Maria, and I'm going to say, how does that rate on your periods experience? Are we going to talk about our first experience in a second? But is that your experience that they were fairly, Maria's shaking her head.
It's the first time that I heard Chiara actually say the statement. Took me by surprise as well, because I was always brought up thinking that you should bear periods. It's once a month, once every 28 days. They're meant to be uncomfortable, but it's a 5 days a week and you get it over and done with, you know what I mean? So it always catches me by surprise, the statement, in the sense that, I don't know, I think it's the lack of awareness of how best to deal with periods and what you should be expecting, because we are never taught on what we should be expecting. We have always been taught that your period would come and this would happen. But other than that, we have no visibility and no information on everything that happens around periods. So in households, this is not something which is discussed, or at least it was not discussed with me.
I was going to say, for your household, to talk about you as an individual and your experience, so you never sat down and discussed that?
No. So to my knowledge, no. I know there was this like sort of a celebration that I got my first period, and it was like, hello Nanna, she got her period.
Exactly.
Hello auntie, you know what, and I'm the eldest of the girls in my family, and it was like, woohoo, you know what I mean. And obviously I was always provided with products, and I was always kind of, after I got my period, there was more pressures, for lack of a better word, to have like safe sex, because obviously you're now
likely to get pregnant.
So there was that emphasis. But other than that, there was never the discussion on what products I should be using, what's best to use. I always used what was provided to me. And for instance, I only used tampons when I grew up and I wanted to go to the beach with my friends, and I was like, pads won't work. Mm-hmm. And my friends were like, well, you can use tampons. And I was like, okay, but how does that work? And it was a trial and error of how I think I should be wearing them. And I remember the first time I wore a tampon. I wore a tampon and a pad. And I was like literally every 15 minutes going to the bathroom and checking whether or not I was bleeding.
This has never changed.
You know what I mean? So it was
I do.
I don't have this though. You probably experienced this because you're the eldest. I, on the other hand, are the youngest of four. Sibling, and we're four girls, and I have a mom who's a midwife. So to me, it was very like, she got her period. Okay. No fuss, really. Okay, we called my nana because that is like the same in Malta. There's this like, oh, what's it, Tarach kind of thing. But then life went on. It was very like, you got your period. Here's the stuff. And that was it. Honestly. No.
But did you speak to your sisters and your mom?
Yes, but it was. I also grew up with them on their period. So when one of them was moody, I was a bit like, I think it's that time of the month. Or obviously, I grew up seeing my mom getting her period, and I, you know, saw her.
Do you think?
Of course, that happens.
Cause,
so
yes,
because
there are age gaps
thing?
Between us. Yes, so actually. By the time I got my period, one of my sisters had moved out, you know. So, but this happens very often. I think that is so amazing that with your colleagues and stuff, your period thing.
Yeah.
I think that's quite fascinating.
Explain that to me. What is actually,
how
is that possible?
No idea.
So scientifically, there's no explanation.
Nothing. Not that I am aware of.
That's insane.
That's so cool.
You'd have your own cycle. You start working together.
And I was really, really adamant that it's total bull. And my God, everywhere I've gone, when I'm surrounded by women, it does sink.
Can you imagine a man in an office environment with all the women?
Can you imagine my father, my dad?
Have you girls in the house?
We're four, and with my mom five. The cat was female, the birds were female. And he's like, can I get a break over here?
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, coming back to this whole idea about this, and I'm going to ask you, Kiara, in a second, this whole idea about your first period. I was 13 years old and I had an accident. I fell off a 25-foot high haystack onto a concrete ground and I smashed the back of my head open, and I had stitches all up the back of my head, and I was vomiting blood, and I was unconscious for 2 days. When I came round, the nurse said to me, you've just started your period as well. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So there was no celebration. There was no, in actual fact, there was very little conversation, to be quite honest with you.
You come from a very different household also, because you're the only girl, you and your mom, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that's also a very different... You said you're the eldest.
No, I'm the youngest, but I have an older brother.
You have an older brother. You see, I think the dynamic in which... Sorry to have stopped your story.
No.
I think the dynamic in which you were brought up in makes a very big difference. A period was very, so to speak, normal. I don't like the word either. But it was just like, I'm just waiting for it to come at this point, you know?
I remember my mom having this discussion with my brother, like, your sister got her period and this is what's happening. But my brother is 3 years older than me, and he only had this conversation sort of because I got my first period. So
kudos to your mom for doing that.
It would not have happened.
Kudos to your mom.
Yes, but it's still, the discussion was still a bit unspoken of. So, for instance, I would not ask my dad to go out and buy
No, I
pads.
Did, often.
It was very much, and I wouldn't be around the dinner table, and I'd be like, you know, I'm not feeling very well, I'm on my period, because my mom would be like, private matters.
No, see, I wasn't brought up with that at all. Yes. At all.
And it's with good intentions, I can imagine, but it was still a different dynamic.
Kiara, you were just about to say something there.
Well, yes, because that's amazing, because I'm the older sister. I have a younger sister as well, so similar to you. We had female cats and all that, so poor dad. And I was young, I was 10 when I had my first period. And I remember my parents giving us the whole talk, maybe because I was developing, I was showing signs that I was already going into puberty. But my sister was obviously much, much younger, 2.5 years younger than me, immature compared to me. In fact, it took her a while longer as well. But it almost like was a surprise, almost like was what's wrong? What's wrong? Why is there brown? Why is there red in my underwear? And And it was, oh, the horrible pads. And my mum didn't allow me to buy, because at the time, these nice, fancy, thin pads, at the time, like, oh, no, they're thin. They're not good. Because she had heavy periods. Her periods were heavy. And I started having heavy periods. I hated my periods, completely hated my periods. And I was the only one in my class who had periods.
Oh, wow, that's tough.
When you're 10, in what year? When you're 10, you're 6. I was the same age as you.
Yes, and you were always just getting younger.
But I know it with years. I remember I was in year 6. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking you.
Yes, in grade 6, yes, it's 10. And the age is getting younger and younger.
Why is that?
Because of estrogen and endocrine disruptors. So in general...
Stop. Say that again.
In general. So this is all to do with hormones, yeah? Endocrine is hormones, disruptors. And we're surrounded by endocrine disruptors. So things we touch, things we use, or things we wear affect our hormones.
And they stimulate earlier what?
Disruptors. Okay. So they change things. We can talk about this on another show. Because even with fertility...
Because you're seeing my face.
Yeah, I know. But this is... I got used to this. Now. Yeah, yeah. Say something, your face goes like...
Judy's like...
With a young girl getting her period, it's related to the amount of estrogen. So if you see a girl in school who is a little bit chubby, a little bit plump, okay, and someone who's tall and skinny, usually the chubbier girls will have a period earlier, and the tall and skinny, because low estrogen, they'll have later on. So they tend to be around even 15-16. But with the small plump girls, usually around 10, and we're getting an earlier age of menarche. So menarche is the first period. This is modern life.
I mean, even that, because you're talking about hormones, you're talking about estrogen. So even those younger girls who are full of figured, let's say, because they've got estrogen entering, I mean, that's just all part of the normal process.
Indeed. And once we have this rise in estrogen, they stop having this growth spurt. So they stop growing taller because... Biology, less. Oh my goodness. I said really? I'm not going to talk about biology and big words. But with what happens is with the onset of puberty, the long bones start closing at the ends. So they don't grow taller.
That's complicated, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
You're tall. How old were you when you got your period?
13. So let me ask you a question.
It's also genetics, mind.
Okay. So let me ask you all three of you a question. When you got your period, did you at school, if you can remember, did you talk to your friends about it? Was there, I mean, because when I got mine, me and my friends were like, I do remember this. We were like, oh, look at that. She got a period. And it was actually kind of cool because you were kind of like you were turning into a woman, and we were 13. So we were a tiny bit older. Maybe at 10, it's a bit too early to talk about it. But did you get that at all?
No, it's the same experience for me. So I got it when I was in Form 1.
A year after
11,
us.
That would be. And it was very cool because I was one of the first amongst my friends who got my period. And I was like, I got it. You know what I mean? So there was this...
Like achievement.
Achievement, like a tick box of, okay, what's next? That was something which was... But only when you get it, you sort of celebrate it. Like future periods, then it was very secretive of, okay, I need to go change. I need to do this. Mm-hmm. I need to do that. Mm-hmm. So it was only in the moment when you get your period, which was like, hey, everyone, I got my period. Next.
I think, so I went to an all-girls school. I think it was very kind of normal, I would say. There were some times where I would do it, and even other students would be like, Miss, can I step outside? I'm feeling a little bit dizzy, for example. Or I remember even being at rehearsal for something and being like, Miss, I came straight from a lesson. Can I go quickly to the bathroom to change? And it's just like, I think it's a lot easier at a school when you have female teachers, you know?
I didn't have that experience. All. No, because I went to an old girl school, obviously girl. And I remember when I was about 10. And I was so scared that I flooded through. Okay.
Oh,
so
wow.
I stained my underwear, and I remember, I think it was in summer, you know, it's hot, and And I was so scared. I was walking to the bathroom to check. And I remember one teacher told me, "Chiara, walk up, walk straight." Like, but, you know, I felt like, well, should I tell her that I'm on my period? And it was break time. So I just wanted to go to the toilet. I could have had pain. I could have had maybe not period, but maybe a headache or a backache. Mm. But I remember this. And to me, it felt like, oh, bad period is not good. You know, I remember we weren't taught.
Listen, don't get me wrong. I do have memories where I would put my pad through my sleeve and you walk. But then I think, honestly, I really think it's this. First of all, I was always a very kind of strongly opinionated person.
Oh, no.
Way, what? Bella? And I think because at home it was so normalized that I was a bit like, it's a period, man. Yes. You know, I remember I have a very clear memory of me asking for a teacher for a tampon. You know, and but then again, I also have these memories of myself with the pads in my sleeve. So
why?
I think at some point I must have started possibly my peers being like, period, 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 to which I was, because at home I was getting this confirmation that this is normal and let's talk about it. And what is this garbage that you're saying that periods are normal, you know? Mm. That then I was like, you know what? My mom is right. This is normal. My sisters are right. This is normal. Uh-huh. That then I was like, possibly
just
not.
Just walking through school with
possibly
it held
not.
High above
possibly
her head.
Not. But Vera, I also, looking in retrospect, listening to your stories, I'm kind of grateful I had an environment at work. Mm. Sorry, at school. Sorry, I work in a school. So when I say school, I say work. I had an environment at work where my teachers felt that they could support us in that. Mm-hmm. And I was blessed with teachers that felt that, mm-hmm. you know, we could speak mm-hmm. to them about it. And at home, I had this feeling of, this is normal, let's just get on with it. You know what I mean?
But I have worked in an office where most of my colleagues were men. And because I grew up sort of being told that this discussion should only be spoken about with female peers, I was very, very secretive about the fact that, listen, I have to have a tampon and go to the bathroom. So I think this relates to what you're saying, in the sense that if I was always brought up sort of normalizing this discussion only amongst female peers, I was very uncomfortable when faced, even presently, even at work, for instance.
With your mate.
It's still a bit uncomfortable for me to walk to the bathroom with a tampon in my hand. Now, presently, I do it because obviously, as part of the campaign, I try and be sort of a role model for my peers. And I'm like, yep, on my period. You know what I mean?
I've got this vision of women walking around from here on in with tampons held high above their heads.
Fancy coloured tampons.
Absolutely. So. I mean, just to put this in context, when I was in my teens and I was having my period, tampons and towels, not even tampons looked like this. They were not the compact ones. You could only get the long cardboard tubes were probably about a foot long. and in actual fact, I remember having to go and ask my friends, how do you use them? Mm. Because nobody came and explained to us what they were and how they worked. We just knew that they were a kind of a cool alternative. And even towels were literally over a centimeter thick.
Wow. Yes.
And you couldn't hide them up your sleeve because everybody knew. But I also remember, I do remember being too embarrassed, and I'm normalizing this because this is part of the conversation. I was too embarrassed to ask if I could go to the bathroom and if I could go and change a sanitary product. And I leaked onto the seat and onto the back of my skirt. Now, thank goodness, my school uniform was a black skirt. Everybody knew because I was too embarrassed to ask to go. And then, of course, you're really embarrassed and really feel very humiliated. And I had the opportunity to go home because I had nothing with me and so on and so forth. But it is quite difficult if you don't. I mean, Tez, it sounds like your experience was...
I'm in the minority, Istra. I didn't realize I would be, honestly. I don't know if this is me as the kind of natural person that I am, that is just kind of very much normalizing these things. But I now work in an environment with quite a few men, because in primary school, there are a few female teachers, but in senior school, especially in a boys' school, we've got quite a few males as well. And I mean, it's not going to be like me on a microphone being like, "Oh, my period!" Definitely not. But I have good friends of mine I work with who are very like, you're a bit pale, you're on your period. And I really respect that it's like, you're my friend and you know, and it's like, yeah, I am actually.
But school lessons were very rigid in time. For instance, I remember that we were only allowed to use the bathroom ideally in breaks. So we had two
yes,
breaks.
Yes.
And obviously you cannot control when you're expected to change. Mm. And it was frowned upon to go to the bathroom in between lessons or during a lesson, because this was always perceived as being sort of a way of how students get out of a lesson or move around the school. So as well, that didn't really help. If you were comfortable with a female teacher, most probably, you would have that conversation. But I would never have dreamt of telling a male teacher, listen, I really, really, really need to use the bathroom at this point in time because I'm leaking. You know what I mean? So that was still...
Probably if it's said up front as a teacher, okay? So if it's a male teacher saying, listen, if there's, you know, we're 13, 14-year-olds, if there's anyone on their periods and they need to leave, it's okay.
Just go.
So that puts the pressure off.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because it is normal. It is normal. There's no going wrong.
Well, if you look at the statistics, so...
You love them statistics.
I do. But I was thinking about this today. So if there is, if half the world are women and half of the women are of a menstruating age, that means that we've got 26% of women, 26% of the population are menstruating. Mm-hmm. If the menstruation lasts 5 days.
Mm. At some point, someone's always ovulating.
At some point.
I hate slightly more, but anyway.
At some point, 7% of the world's population is on.
Yeah.
Why don't we all sing? No, but that's a large percent. Right. That's a large percent of your classroom or your work environment or your social environment that are actually menstruating. That's 7%, 7 to 10% of the population are having their period. Mm-hmm. That's quite a lot.
It is.
You just mentioned something that's really cool is saying to your male teacher, because... If that conversation or your male colleagues, and we were talking about school because we're talking about when you get it, but explain to your male colleagues.
And that's the problem. So we expect males to know about periods, to be knowledgeable, but the conversation has always happened with females, even at schools many a time.
But you guys were uncomfortable even telling your female teachers. So before we jump the hurdle of gender, you felt uncomfortable with your female teachers. Now you're adding another layer with a male one.
Because you're uncomfortable speaking about the topic. So in the first place, it's a taboo to speak about periods. It adds a layer of discomfort. The fact that you need to speak to someone who in your mind will not understand what you're going through.
Okay.
But we cannot expect them to understand if we've never included them in the conversation.
Okay, let's pull this right down because this is a really interesting point. And I want to get a response from each of you. Why? Why do we not want to talk about it? Why are we embarrassed? Why would, if it's something that is so natural, why do we not want to talk about
it? I don't think it's a case of embarrassment, in all honesty. I think it's a case of, there are certain conversations I have with my boys where I think they're really going to be interested in them. Honestly, to me, they're extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I speak to them about it and they're like, miss. So in reality, I don't think they're interested. Should they be interested? Should they have the knowledge? Yes, I think they should, which is why it is implemented in their curriculum. And if it is there implemented in their curriculum, let's give them the most important points so that they remember them for their daughters and their wives and their colleagues and all the other females they're going to interact with. But in reality, I think we need to swap it. And rather than the why are we not talking about it, let's find an angle of it that brings them in a way that makes them feel like they need to know this piece of information.
I agree. But I feel like we've jumped ahead one step because I'm thinking about why females, why women, why girls find it difficult to talk about. And I'm going to just put this here because they're messy. Yeah. And sometimes they can be smelly.
Okay.
It's this unhygienic sort of thing in your thing. Mind that you wouldn't want to
but
share.
Who said so?
I think it was always unspoken.
Exactly. I just always hated periods, but I also hated when usually a male would say, are you coming on? You're out at the beer. Are you coming on?
You got your period.
Are you got your period.
On your period. Like a derogatory.
So it's something bad. So, oh my goodness. So I spoke like that. That means, okay, so the period means that's bad. So then why should I say that I'm on my period?
That's a really good one.
Because I'm going to be judged.
But we need to educate that man or woman from passing that remark.
Exactly.
I think that is the problem.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes, PMS is a thing, but it shouldn't be. It's like type us. It's this stereotypical. People do struggle with PMS and PMDD.
Whoa, I'm going to stop you a second. You know how I like it. Your face. You gave me your face. PMS,
premenstrual syndrome.
Which is what?
1 week before the periods.
Which
there's
is
no what? Hormone test. There's no blood test. There's no tests. Keep a period. Keep
you
a calendar.
You open the fridge and you're like...
Comfort food.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Yes. The body's telling you that, yeah? The way to diagnose PMS is by keeping a calendar of symptoms. 3 months is all you need. And if your symptoms are worse 1 week before the period, and then you just feel so much better when the period comes, that's PMS.
But don't we all? Doesn't everyone have PMS?
No.
Not everybody gets cranky before their period.
No. And if it's affecting the quality of life and you becoming so irritable or homicidal, remember that in history, they used to status, the hist is uterus, yeah? So women who killed people, okay, killers, it's all to do because she was on her period, so then she'd get away with things. Okay, this is history, yes, crime, yes. Oh.
What?
Am I the only one who used to read about this?
So the words hysterical, hysteria,
uterus.
Means... And in the past, if they killed somebody while on their period, they got away with it.
Yes.
It was like, a crime of passion, so to speak.
A crime of period.
A crime of period.
It was like, she doesn't know what she's doing. It's hysteria.
Oh, wait, they think we're delirious. I summited a mountain on my period. I wasn't delirious. You know what I mean? I can't believe that in history, they thought women were not, sorry, that's not a good word.
We build this now.
It's true, but it's true because some women that had, I mean, in the UK history, some women that had hysteria from periods or PMS were actually put into mental asylums. Because,
as well.
Because they were right up until 1940s, I do believe, that I recall something like that.
We went through in history.
But you're saying that the hiss of hysteria relates to...
Yes, the uterus.
It means uterus in what? In
what?
The chair
first. Okay. This is a first. Usually your mouth drops.
No. Yes. Wow. Hysterectomy.
What is it hiss in? Hyster is uterus.
In what? Latin? In what?
I'm not sure.
In a medical term, the hiss always has to do with the uterus.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure if I was taught this, I would have remembered it.
I see what you mean.
Itis is all inflammation, yeah. Hepa is liver.
And this is like in theatre when mono means one and dia means two.
Correct. Yes.
Wow. Exactly. Okay, back on the table.
Exactly. So PMS, yeah. And then there's PMDD.
Which is
premenstrual dysphoric disorder. This is when the woman cannot cope. The girl cannot cope. It becomes too much to do activities of daily living. It's more than just the symptoms of, you know, being a bit cranky. It's being depressed. It's not able to function. Okay. And in that case, medication becomes of utmost importance.
And when do you know that it's too much?
When it's that.
What is too much?
Listen, I think girls and women nowadays, they do look things up. And even what I see in clinic, usually they know. Usually they tell me exactly a pattern. And then I, so what do you think you got? PMDD, or I see it in the notes, they've written it. They know. They've done their homework. They know.
Because now knowledge is a lot more accessible than when we were much younger.
Oh, absolutely. Although we did have encyclopedias.
Can I?
Encarta. Encarta.
We can mention it because it doesn't exist anymore. Yes, truly.
I like that. Very, very, very scholarly there. Can I clarify that? So PMS is premenstrual syndrome.
Yes, premenstrual syndrome. Yes, correct.
Which a lot of women get, but not all women get.
Correct.
And this could be ranging from Tez wanting to eat a bowl of chocolate.
Exactly.
To
wanting to stay
feeling
in bed,
cranky, wanting to stay in bed. Out. So not every woman gets that.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any idea of how many women? Is it if you get it, do you always get it?
No. Because it's how you react to that drop in hormones.
It's hormone related.
Yes. Okay. Yes,
everything.
So is that one week?
I love testing. Everything's
hormones, baby.
Okay.
So it's that one week. So and if it drop.
And that's for a week. And if it's very, very serious, it's PMDD. Yeah. And in either instance, it's worth going and seeing your gynae if you're feeling abnormal. Is that a word to say?
When it becomes difficult to continue with life, really.
I want to come back to this whole thing about stigma before we move on to what we do with periods and what the options are, because you just hit the nail right on the head. And you said, well, you know, when people turn around and go, oh, she's got PMS, you mentioned it, oh, she must be on. I mean, it is a derogatory term, because my question is coming back to, why do we feel this way about periods? Maybe they're a little bit smelly, maybe they're a little bit messy, but that is absolutely without a shadow of a doubt. You know, my brothers would turn around to me, I have two brothers, and they would turn around and go, oh, she must be on.
Mm.
And they would attribute every single negative behavior. Mm. If I was a bit cranky or I was a bit argumentative or I wanted to eat a chocolate bar, she would be on.
Yeah. Yes.
She's on.
Mm.
And it's still persistent because we recently conducted a study within schools to understand a little bit better their ideas relating to periods, if we had to provide free menstrual products, which were their preferred methods and their preferred methods of distribution. And one of the questions we asked the student was, in fact, have you ever experienced menstrual stigma? And if so, in what way? And the majority of students did reply that most of the menstrual stigma they've ever experienced was indeed from their male counterparts, so from male students. Obviously, we have to see this as well in the current scenarios of most schools being co-ed schools or soon to be co-ed schools, because the study was done between state, church, and even private schools. So at this point in time, it's only the shared schools, which the majority are not co-ed, but students did reply that they have experienced menstrual stigma due to the fact that other male students at school made fun of them when they were on their period.
Well, let me ask Tez, because you made me think of something when you said that, because Tez grew up in a very strong female home.
Yeah.
But did your sisters turn around if you were cranky and say to you, oh, you must be on? Or if they did, was it lighthearted?
It was lighthearted.
See, that's the difference. Because we might still say it.
It wasn't no, it was just like, sometimes I even say it to males. So I myself am possibly part of the narrative I wish to change. But I am off the record. I think men have some kind of PMS thing. Mm-hmm. So what? But if they're going to throw it at me, was my reasoning, then I'm going to throw it back at you. So if I am in a period where I'm slightly stressed and you're telling me, oh, you're on your period and my period has either ended or it's nowhere in sight, and your first comment is, oh, she's coming on, the next time you are in a stressful period, no problem, I like my sleeve, as you can see, I'm going to give it back to you. You know what I mean? Because If to you, your insult is a jokey thing, okay, then I'm going to give it to you right back. No problem. You know? Full stop.
But you're a strong woman. I mean, for a young young lady that's a young girl that's at school, it's still this embedding of this narrative. And you mentioned the word narrative, and isn't that half the problem that we have these days, is that these narratives have been around this hysteria, this hysterical, this PMS, this all of this, this putting it down to, oh, she's just a woman and she's having a period. This has been around for so long that it's ingrained into us as a society. Mm-hmm. When in actual fact, Tez, I'm looking at you because you have a brighter story to share. But I know definitely for me, when I came to menopause, what's the great thing about menopause? No more periods!
Yeah.
You know, and we're celebrating the fact there's no more periods.
Yes.
In essence, I didn't have difficult periods for the last 20 years of my life anyway. I was on the pill. So there really wasn't any bother. It wasn't really particularly difficult, but you kind of mock it and you make fun of it. Well, I've got no more periods. In actual fact, it's quite sad because at the end of it, when you do have your last period and you know that that's it. That's it. You're that whole period. What? You're smiling.
I could end it right now.
But
possibly I can say that because I've not yet experienced it. So in a few years when I do, I will comment back to you. But at this point, I'm very like, such an inconvenience.
I hormonally stopped my periods as well. And many women have.
Yeah.
Either with hormones, obviously. Yes. Either with the pill or with the intrauterine device. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to not have periods. I mean, periods are only useful to have babies, okay? If you want to get pregnant, you need to have periods. But other than that, I mean, okay, fine. You can grieve for your last period. But
no, that's not exactly what I said. I didn't grieve over it. I just
thought kind of lingers, eh, where you're like, ah, it's,
because you're
it's
going
done
into
now.
And because now I can get on with life.
Well, because on the celebration side of periods also mean that you're a woman and you have a purpose and you have a role if you choose it, that our male counterparts will never have the pleasure of. So I'm just saying, let's celebrate the fact that we can do something as women. I celebrate mums. Every time I look at a mum, every time I look at you, I'm like, good grief, how did you do that? Because, and it should be, celebrated.
A couple of glasses of Merlot.
No, not how did you do that? Good grief.
Oh, that's all it took.
Sadly, I have a very, very persistent period. My relationship, we're going off on a completely different tangent, but I was never happy to see my period when I was trying to get pregnant because it's a little bit like, okay, you're saying that it is the reason why, yes, that's why you have a period, to have a baby. But then whenever I was getting it, it felt like, another time I failed, another time I failed. So I was never in the period where I was trying to get pregnant happy to see it. And I know many women relate to this feeling. I hated the color red for a while. I remember even in Valentine's Day and in Christmas time, you're seeing red everywhere. And it was such a trigger for me. I hated it. Every time I got my period, it felt like I was miscarrying or like I was failing every time. I have a very persistent, a very stubborn period, I call it. So much so that supposedly if you're breastfeeding, you're not meant to get your period. I, of course, did. Supposedly, after you give birth, you're meant to have much easier periods. I really don't. I think they actually got worse. I have very tough ovulation periods as well. So why am I saying all of this? There is this beauty, I suppose, to it as well. But there's also, if you swap it, there are women who don't see their periods, mm-hmm. and that is also an issue.
Correct.
You know, I had the opposite issue. I was seeing it far too many times. All in all, things I hope to normalize. I don't like the word, but hope to normalize further, which is why I am so open about the fact that even with my boys, open about the fact that I did struggle to get pregnant, and even when the boys come to me and ask me, I never shut them down and tell them this is too personal a question. No, but that is me. I'm not expecting everybody to somehow become an open book and and divulge all this information that is extremely personal to themselves and their partner. I happen to be somebody who feels that first and foremost, I am an educator. And if somebody is interested, then I'm going to tell you what I know or what I've experienced. So, yes, sometimes I get boys who are asking me, Miss, how long does a period take? And I go, roughly about 4 days long. Vera, miss, but you're in pain. And I'm like, I remember last week when I was sitting down quite a bit in the lesson. Ah, you were on your period? Yes, I was. Can we go and continue the lesson now? Yes.
That's nice. That's good.
I like that they feel comfortable enough to ask. And I'm not going to shut it down. There's absolutely no point that I'm going to tell you, hey, that is very personal. No, man. No. Come and ask me about my period. I genuinely, I'm happy to educate you about it.
Because we cannot expect them to know and be open about the conversation if we don't start the conversation. So I'm pretty sure they won't be shut down to the idea of getting to know even the basic ideas and notions after what a period is. And then obviously not everyone is the same, but it's different if we bring up a generation who has spoken about or heard about periods, but we cannot expect grown-up men who've always had this sort of conversation shut up for them to be expected to know or understand.
Except that I caught myself whilst Tails was talking, I was thinking in my head, wouldn't it be lovely if we could talk about periods as easily as we talk about a cold? And then, you know what I thought to myself? But you're aligning a period with a cold, and a cold is an infection and it's unpleasant. And I'm actually pitching it at the same level.
Wow.
And we shouldn't. We should have this openness of, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. And that's comes back to, I believe, what Tez is leading, even with our male adult counterparts. If we talk about it as, I've got my period. Yeah, I've got cramps. Yeah, I've got this. Yeah, it's like this. And we talk about it as if it's not a cold and something that is unpleasant and it's something that's a nuisance and it's something that's awful. If we as women just say, you know what, from today, we're going to talk about it. As it's part of life. It's what it is. It is the beauty, part of the beauty of being a woman. And in essence, it is part of the beauty of being a woman because our male counterparts can't understand. They don't have wombs and everything that goes with that. So I think what you just said there, Tez, about answering boys' questions, answering men's questions, and us talking, doing what we're doing right now and talking about it as if it is normal.
That's it.
Because it is. Not as if it is. Because it is normal.
But many a time, we tend to depend on school education to teach us stuff when society itself needs to normalize these discussions. So as you said, we should be the ones open about speaking about this issue, about periods in general. We shouldn't be expecting, it's good to have these discussions in schools, but we shouldn't just be expecting schools to be teaching and educating children about periods, because at the end of the day, if you're educated at school but then at home or with your peers within family there's this closed shut conversation, it's useless.
So essentially we as women shouldn't be lowering our voice.
No,
we shouldn't be hiding the tampon up our sleeves. And we shouldn't be putting it in the bag, and we shouldn't be trying to make it discreet. We should just be saying, this is it. Yes. This is, you know, Tez, I'm on my period and I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And
shall I make you a coffee? And that is it. That is it.
Disability.
Full stop. It's literally it. I'm sorry I stopped you.
No, it's okay.
But that is as normal, I know I keep saying this word, as I want it to be. Yes. Isma, I'm going to pop into the bathroom. Can you put the kettle on? That's it.
Yes. And the idea behind the pilot project we're trying to implement in schools is purely this, that you have dispensers outside your bathrooms within school facilities. Listen, you're on your period, you just took your product, went in, and life goes on. Because so as you find toilet paper, which is essential within bathrooms, you should be finding menstrual products, which are as essential.
What you've done, though, in that, is, and we're going to talk about products in a second, because Kiara doesn't have a period, and I want to address all of the options on the table in a moment, because I know that we've had all very different experiences, because that for a lot of young ladies is, and older ladies, is something that never really was spoken about either. But what is interesting is I'm assuming that those dispensers are on the outside of the toilet. Exactly. Because you're wanting that to be the secrecy to be taken exactly. away.
The aim That's of the project yeah? is to eliminate the stigma. So they're close to the bathroom facilities, but not within a closed area.
But I think we're still at a point where they will go.
We're still piloting the project. And to be honest, we are piloting two different dispensers. So we're piloting dispensers where students have a dongle and you put the dongle to the machine and it dispenses the product. You have no limit as to the products you want to use. And we're also piloting dispensers where it's free to choose your product. So you just press a button and it gives you the product. In both cases, we're not really after how many products are being used. But what we're after is to see what... the convenience behind the type of dispensers.
And also...
So when it's free for all, are we having situations where, for instance, male counterparts are getting out products and mocking students? Look, I have a tampon, I have a pad, opening it up. You know what I mean? So we're trying to see whether having something which is obviously only the female students were given the key for the machines in that particular school. So only they have access to the product. But in other schools where it's free for everyone, males and females, because it's close to the bathroom, the bathrooms are co-ed in co-ed schools. Most of them, not
you
all of them, obviously.
You don't give the dongles to the girls only in co-ed schools?
In the co-ed schools where the machines are the free-for-all machines, you where press. You just press, obviously there's no dongle to give out. So we are piloting different machines to see exactly what the reaction is, what the response is. Obviously, we do acknowledging giving just the products out won't eliminate stigma. So there's a bigger campaign to it, you know what I mean?
But when you were saying that, you know, to me, even if the young ladies didn't feel like they had the courage to go and use the machine, the very fact that it's outside next to a Coke machine or whatever it is means that young men, young women can see the products and that whole mystery is taken away. It's like other machines. What? You're smiling.
Yes, no, I'm imagining this.
You see, the psychology is even if there was not one single young lady that used the machines for the entire month that they were installed for the first month, at least they're there. Yes. And even if the boys
took a product and they're like, okay.
And they open it, that mystery and that's done with.
It's not a packet.
It's done now.
It's an item. Oh, let's see what it
is. Yeah, they're opening it up. They're probably going to do this. They're probably going to open up the packet like this. If I can get it open, you can open up the packet. They're going to open it up. They're going to stick it on the wall. They're going to see it. But once it's done, it's done.
Yes.
The mystery and whole, you know, because this is what it looks like. So if I was a young boy, if I was a 12-year-old, I'd probably approach a 12-year-old boy. Yes. I'd do this. I'd probably stick it here.
I'd probably do this. Probably that's what
you'd
my boys
like,
would
okay.
do.
Okay. We're done.
Yeah.
And then the mystery is over. So it's talked about. And then younger boys and girls can see that there really isn't much to it. That is it. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's nothing to it. So that's why I'm saying is that even if for the first month or 2 months, girls don't use them, at least that they're there. And they're sitting next to the equivalent of a Coke machine.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I like that. Well done, you. We've opened one of these pads, so I want to, for a moment, I want to have a conversation about what women can do, because we have four women with different alternatives at the table.
You mean as products?
As products or solutions, okay. Because Kiara doesn't have a period at all. So Kiara, I'm going to start with you.
But that's my choice.
Yes.
That's my choice. Obviously, as a gynecologist, if a patient doesn't want hormones and she's still having painful periods, then I will give her all the options.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be hormonal.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, and this is what I do in clinic. I will discuss the options as long as it's safe, because everyone has their own opinions about stuff, right? But obviously I don't want a period. I'm happy to take hormones safely. So that's how I chose not to have a period. but your question was about these things, rather.
Look, let me tell you, because when I had my periods, when I started my periods, you had towels. Mm-hmm. Then I discovered you had tampons. Mm-hmm. And if you were of a particular age, you could take oral contraception, and that was it. Now we have cups, we have discs, injections, we have pads, coils, we have all sorts of things. We have pads, we have tampons, we have all different solutions, yes, to menstruation. And I just want to take a moment to run through them. And if you've had an experience of them, just, Tez, I hope I'm not being impertinent, but you use the cup.
I do, yes. I'm very proud of using the cup.
Absolutely. And you told me, just as I was having my very last period, you said to me, you should try this, yeah, because it's good for the environment and it actually works.
Yeah, it's true. I have nothing to complain about. So it comes in three sizes. So there's A, B, and C. And I believe A is if you've not been sexually active, because obviously the cervix, correct me if I'm wrong, is a little bit smaller. No?
Cervix?
I don't know.
Cervix is the entrance to the uterus.
So what was
it? ABC means small, medium, large.
Yes. Yes. So there's a A is the smallest one for whatever, yes, reason, I don't know.
Usually it is to do with the size of the vagina.
Okay.
And the vagina is not just about sex or sexual activity, because vagina is just skin. Okay, it's not an organ.
Okay.
But the shape or the size of the vagina is depending on the structures around it, which is the pelvic floor muscles. So if someone has got a very tight pelvic floor, that they probably would need a small size.
That's right.
Reason being, if they had to insert a larger one, it would be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And someone with a more lax pelvic floor, if they had to insert a small one,
it wouldn't help.
They will leak through.
Uh-huh, it wouldn't, okay, be enough.
So this is a little bit of a trial and error with the sizes.
Yeah, with the sizes.
So, with the cup, there's a suction.
That's right.
So
yes,
you need to you need to kind of release the suction.
And then you pull it out like you would a tampon.
You push on it.
No, I don't.
It's like an egg cup.
Yes, but it's got a plastic, yes, thing that you pull at. I don't.
Like a ring.
Do you, yes, not press on the cup? I don't need to. Maybe you don't need to. Okay, but this is important when it comes to these menstrual hygiene products.
What works for me doesn't necessarily work,
exactly,
for somebody else.
It's a bit of a trial and error. Same with the sizes of the tampons, but
I don't have to tug at it very,
exactly,
hard.
Exactly, that's
break the seal. Sort
you
of.
Need to break the seal. Because with the cervix and the uterus, because the uterus is a mobile organ, it's not fixed like the lungs, or because it needs to grow with pregnancy. If you tug too much, the ligaments will start coming down, so, ooh, you'll have a lower cervix. Okay, so break the seal. So if that's the egg cup shape, okay, just put your finger in and just break the seal,
okay,
and then you can tug, and it's easier to remove.
By pulling it, generally, I have no issues, but I don't get this part. I just literally pull it out.
Good. So with you, you don't have issues, okay, with that. You probably have the correct size. But some girls find the cup uncomfortable. And I do get these questions. Oh, am I going to have a prolapse with the cup? Because there was this thing going around on TikTok not so long ago.
Oh, we love TikTok.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. It gives me such a headache when I have to explain things. I'm like, no. So that's that. And there's the discs.
Oh, hang on a second. Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm just going to come back because there are so many options.
Oh, no.
And I want to ask Tez, because literally Tez suggested it to me when it started becoming irrelevant for me. But it's obviously your preferred menstrual product.
Yeah.
Leaks?
Not any difference to a leak I would have with a tampon.
Okay.
Once in a blue moon, so to speak.
Uncomfortable?
No, I wouldn't say so. And it holds a lot more than a tampon does.
Ooh,
so
messy?
It can be, yes. Ideally, you empty it if you're close to a sink, so that you can empty it in the toilet and then rinse it. Although nowadays there are also particular wipes that are flushable, so you can wipe it down and put it back on again. But what's good is that it holds for a good couple of hours. So when I put it on in the morning, I don't need to touch it again or change a tampon or go to the bathroom or anything until I'm back home in the evening after work.
Ooh.
So,
and you can still pee with a tampon,
of course,
or a cup.
Yes,
or
you
it
can.
Is yeah. in your vagina.
Yes, okay. you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you
so
can.
So this is your preferred method and you're very happy with it.
I do, of course, just like you were saying earlier about people being like, yeah, and I obviously get comments like that. That doesn't stop me from talking about it at all, as you can tell. But yeah, you just kind of get on with it, honestly. I mean, if you have a sink nearby, I would say that is the best case scenario. But if you don't, then
why? Who has a bathroom and not a sink? Not sure. Normally.
Maybe if you go out to a restaurant and
but
there's
it holds
like the bathroom.
A good couple of hours, so that's a plus.
So you're just going to plan a little bit.
Yeah.
You mentioned disc.
Mm.
What's the disc?
This is similar. It holds way more. It used to be available in Malta because I remember them when I still had periods before I went to the UK. But
they're not available right now. Discs.
I think they are.
Can you buy them? I think you can order them somewhere online.
I think there are certain companies which like these small companies which do.
Disc.
And it works on the same principle?
Similar.
It rests on the...
Because it... Yes, exactly.
I'll let the technical people explain that.
But it rests on the bone and it's comfortable and it holds more. So there's no nozzle to pull on. But it does have a little bit of an indent, so you can pull it from there. There are some of them, when you pee, it actually empties. It kind of shifts and it empties. So, and it holds way much
You cannot
more.
Wear it wrong.
You cannot wear it wrong. I remember these. They were marketed as, because they're soft, they were marketed as you can wear them and still have intercourse because they're soft. That's disc.
This is my face here. I'm just like, popular. What? This is like...
I would try it, genuinely. I'm not somebody who gets...
Some of them are not reusable, so they'd be disposable. Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I mean, there's all these environmentally friendly versions.
Sustainability.
Well.
I'll go back to this study we've done with students. Sustainability was one of the factors we were sort of analyzing. And the thing is that they're so not exposed. They have no education on if it's safe, how they should use it, is it hygienic, that students were actually not that open to the idea of being provided with more sustainable products.
Right.
So what we aim to do is to start the conversation about sustainable products, but it would not have made sense for us. You know, the cheapest option most probably would be to have a menstrual cup. You give each student a menstrual cup and you're like,
Here you go.
You're sorted for 4 years.
But it would not have made sense if they would not be open to using them. And the thing is, even in my case, I have never used a menstrual cup or a menstrual disc. I am keen on the idea, but I've never been so adventurous to actually try it out. I'm still not sure on if I'm gonna order the right size, if I'm gonna wear it properly. I can leak, it's okay. I've been cautious with tampons before, but there are so many questions that ultimately when I'm like Googling the products and I'm like nearly add to cart and I'm like, oh, but I'll probably not know how to use it. So abort mission and I don't actually buy the product. So there's still a bit of hesitation because I've never actually spoken with someone openly on how...
My friend.
You know what I mean? I personally use something which is still considered controversial with a lot of my friends in the sense that I find myself comfortable using menstrual underwear for my heavier days.
What?
And
when I'm working out or playing
tennis, for instance.
Hang on a second. Okay, wow, the world has come on. You use what?
So menstrual underwear is normal underwear, which has this layer of protection. It's like you have a pad attached to your underwear, but you don't feel the pad attached to it because it's like you're wearing normal underwear, but it absorbs the blood. Obviously, the downside of that would be that you need to rinse the underwear before putting it, like you wash it away. Mm. But I wash my menstrual underwear with the rest of my clothes. Shocker. And I, you know what I mean? I do rinse it before because that's my personal preference. But I find it extremely, extremely comfortable, especially when I'm when I go to sleep, when I'm on my period. Because when I wake up after you sleep and you wake up and you physically wake up from the bed, I don't know what happens, but physically my body is like, all my blood is like,
Vera.
And I'm like, sorry. And I find it comfortable because it protects it. There's a full layer of protection and I do not leak.
Yeah.
So I do not mess my sheets up. It gives me enough time to go to the bathroom to actually, you know, get over and done with. When I'm doing sports, it's very convenient because I feel more protected as
nothing
a layer.
Moves.
You know what I mean? I don't use menstrual underwear. So if I know that I'm a full day out, obviously it does not give you that much layer of protection.
How much time does it give you?
So I think I would do a 5 hour. 6 hour. So we, at work, for instance, if I'm working on half days in summer, I can easily do that. What I do in full days is I stick a pad and then midway I remove the pad
off.
And
oh,
then
that's
I,
a good
I move
way of
on.
Doing it.
When I'm traveling, I still have not used them as much because obviously I need to carry them back and they're not as convenient. Other than that, I mean, it saves you out of money.
Yes.
And it's comfortable because the worst feeling for me is feeling the product you're using. And with menstrual underwear, it's like I'm wearing underwear, which I do on a daily basis, so I don't really feel the pad.
Can I ask you how long have these been around? Because I mean, even from an environmental point of view, if you can get past the fact that you have to rinse them, which is just essentially blood, I mean, environmentally, like the cup, I've sitting at this table, I've never heard of this. I've never heard. How long have they been around?
I've been using them for the past 2 years, but I think they've been.
I think so. Because there's the pads that
you can actually attach. The reusable pads,
even panty liners.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like I finished my periods and suddenly period science kicked in. And
listen, that's a whole other taboo, Bata. Let's normalize talking about periods first, and then we'll work on normalizing. I don't think you can handle both at the same time, personally.
Handle both what?
I don't think you can normalize both the stigma of talking and discussing periods openly and then going towards sustainable products.
Oh, for sure. But
because I get a lot of stick for it, which I'm really happy to fight through, but it is going against the grain.
No, I was just saying from my point of view, if either of these options had been available when I was having periods, I definitely would have considered them.
In fact, I had recommended
it
too,
knowing
how
it wasn't important anymore.
Environmentally friendly.
But what's amazing is that the options are out there, and I'm pretty sure that there are other women of all ages who don't know what their options are. We've got two products in front of us that have tried and tested and they've done the job for decades.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, they're still some of the best. Yeah. We've got tampons, we've got sanitary towels, but we now have all of these other options, which I want to bring into the conversation. So we've got the disc, which when we think we can get in Malta, we're not sure, and it holds more, but it's very similar to the cup, which Tez swears by. We've got the menstrual pants underwear, which to me sounds like a sleeping,
sleeping. Yeah. Very easy to buy as well.
Oh, wow.
Very easy to buy.
There is now even certain gym wear, which are especially made for periods, for athletes, which have an extra layer of protection. So I mean, technology has
rather than
moved forward.
Stick that. I mean, nothing against that, but
you know what I'm thinking. You know, Kiara, you know what I'm thinking, because you all talked about whether it lasts 5 hours, it lasts a day, so on and so forth. What I'm thinking is that we don't have to be hard and fast on one.
No,
you can mix up and match whatever works for you, and whatever you feel works best for you. And of course, yourself, you've said, actually, I don't want them. And that's fine, because you're not in a situation, I assume, at the moment where parenting is something on the plan. So you said, actually, you know what? I don't want that. And that, can I ask you that? Is that safe? Is that a safe way of going ahead?
Okay. So hormones are not suitable for everyone, but there is usually a solution for everyone. It's rare that I don't have a solution.
Okay.
Okay. With hormones, I always say this, a risk assessment needs to be done. Yeah. Okay, because of the combined pill, because of estrogen, it's not suitable for everyone. And going back to pathology and problematic periods, because the pill is a solution. The pill is a solution. So if the periods are problematic, if pain relief is not enough, then the pill is a solution. Okay, so if the pill is, I do the risk assessment and that girl, woman qualifies and she doesn't have any risk factors, then I would discuss how she uses the pill and which way she can utilize it. And obviously there's the mini pill if the pill is not suitable. So the mini pill takes away the estrogen out of the equation. Okay. And then we have the intrauterine devices.
Explain what that is.
Intrauterine device is a coil.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a system that is inserted inside the uterus. And that's a fit and forget. It stays there long term. And usually we use it for heavy menstrual bleeding. Okay.
Yeah.
And the woman doesn't need to have had a delivery or a pregnancy first. Okay. Because that's another myth. We can insert these intrauterine devices in women who have not had a delivery. Okay. If she's had got problematic periods, then she can get treatment.
Yeah. We're going to come to the end of this discussion. This is been absolutely amazing, but just sitting around the table and discussing these different options, one of the things that's really struck me is that there's far more options than there used to be. B, I love Tez's approach. Let's just talk about it as if it is just absolutely acceptable, because it is absolutely acceptable. Yes. I've pulled myself up. Saying, okay, let's talk about it as if it was a cold. No, let's not talk about it as if it's something negative. Like you said, let's not turn around to us, to someone and say, well, you know, you're on your period then. Let's not do that. Let's not poo-poo periods. What you're doing with the schools is absolutely incredible, but also just how many options are available to women, young women, older women these days. I am sitting here gobsmacked. I'm so glad that we've had that. But also just talking about whether or not you want to take a treatment that is going to help with your periods. I'm listening to you, and the one thing that you've just said is a risk assessment. Always. You need to talk to someone. One of the things in the previous show, go and see it, it was brilliant, that came out of that was that there were two people at the table who were ill-informed. And who didn't have all of the truth. And I'm beginning to understand that we as women need to sit there and we need to not stop until we have every single answer that we want. So go and see your gynecologist and keep hammering them down until you know absolutely everything about what you're doing. That, I think, has just been my takeaways from sitting here with three incredible women. But I'm going to ask you guys for your closing thoughts, and I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to start with Tez. Closing thoughts. I mean, seriously, wow.
My closing thoughts are basically just I can't put somebody in a I can't make somebody talk about something they feel uncomfortable talking about, right? But especially if you are a parent, especially if you're an aunt, especially if you're an educator, I feel discussing it and giving that sense of safety with asking anything and answering anything is so vital. I'm so glad that I have had conversations with my kids, and I'm hoping to have more conversations even with my son, where this just doesn't remain this elephant in the room, but remains but becomes completely normal. There was a post that was circulating my feed recently where a girl was on a bus and she sat down and she had, I don't know if you guys saw it also, and she stained her clothes, and this boy took off his jacket and wrapped it around her as she stood up. Yeah. He saw that she leaked, and he wrapped his jacket around her waist, and as he pushed her off the bus, he was like, don't worry about it, I've got sisters. And that is beautiful. Yes, you've got sisters. We are surrounded by women, we are surrounded by men. So we live in a world where we are living together constantly. So let's just get on with it and stop making this a big deal when it's really not a big deal.
Love that. Love it.
Yeah. Yes, definitely end the stigma. Because it leads to misinformation and embarrassment. and then women will not speak up. So create that safe space. I like that a lot. And, you know, we've gone through it. We're older. And you just say, listen, it's okay. It's normal. We talk about it. If you need to ask me anything about period, it's okay. Make it okay. And I think part of the responsibility is coming from the older adults, yeah.
You just touched on something there, Kiara, and I'm going to keep coming back and quoting you on this because you really changed my life. But if we don't talk about it, we're never going to talk about it if we think something's wrong, because that would be even more shame and stigma. And you have blown apart so many of the potential challenges with periods when you've sat at this table. And I think for any young woman who's experiencing something that just doesn't feel quite right, needs to speak up. And that's one of the reasons that we need to be doing what Tez is doing, so that if we feel like this, because you said right at the beginning, each three of you said, we just have been taught to get on with it, mm-hmm. and not question the pain and not question the discomfort, when in actual fact, that might not be right.
Exactly.
We should be questioning if there's something that's potentially needs addressing.
Exactly. And as the law stands right now, under the age of 16, they cannot come to a gynae clinic on their own. They have to have a guardian, an older adult, okay, as the law stands right now. Because I cannot examine anyone. Nobody can give consent below the age of 16. That wow. might change soon. But there will be someone who they can talk to. So whether if it's not the mum, if it's not the dad, maybe it's an aunt, maybe it's an older sister, maybe it's an older cousin. Find someone who you can speak to safely if you think something is not right.
Brilliant. Even sorry to stop this, but I have this. I speak to so many women who are afraid to go to the gynecologist. Oops. Don't be afraid to go to the gynecologist.
That's for another show.
Yes, it's true.
But listen, yeah. She's really sweet, this Kiara Ferrando Balzan, and there's lots of others like you, but you are absolutely gorgeous. Very, very lovely. Maria, I'm going to let you have the last word, because what you guys have been doing about going in at the grassroots at the very beginning, at the very earliest age, and making this something that young people can see. You said yourself, this is the objective, is to change the generations to come. Your last word.
To be honest, I think we've been surrounded with myths all our lives pertaining to periods in general. So I think end the stigma period is precisely about that. It's about normalizing the conversation amongst everyone, young, old, males, females. So that's the ultimate aim of this campaign and the work that we're doing. And ultimately, although you might not necessarily understand what one goes through during a period because you might not experience it, it's creating the society of empathy or still understanding the notion that ultimately this is something normal, again, for a lack of a better word, but we want to normalize the conversation around periods because we do not choose to have periods. Mm. This is a natural phenomena at the end of the day. So we need to learn to live in a society where people are menstruating and it's normal.
There you go. That's it. Ladies, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That's it.